Well, it's lovely to see you again. It's always a joy coming to the fellowship here and see new faces, I think. Mind you, my memory's not as good as it used to be. But if you're here for the first time or just the second time, it's always great to be in the church. You know, when you're in a meeting, God, I guess, speaks to you. He's been speaking to you. And sometimes it's not a long word. It can just be a little short word, but it's very vital. And the thing that God's been speaking to me is a little word, I receive you. I want you to keep that in mind. Little word, you know, when we say, I'm going to give a word this morning, means I'm going to speak for an hour. No, you know. It's always important to know when you finish, but I guess 12?
Well, yeah,
12, if I can. And when I was last here in October, Matthew was leading, and he started off with a little word. Are you spiritual? And you know, that was really a powerful word for me, because I wanted to share something about the Holy Spirit. And of course I did that, and I shared some of the background of our scriptures. And may remember, if you were here, that I took you back into the Old Testament, where God is referred to as God the Father. New Testament, we know he's God the Son. But then we have this amazing revelation that Jesus reminds us, that he said, when I depart from this earth, you know, he was only here for 33 and a half years, he said, I'll send God the Holy Spirit to you. Now, God the Holy Spirit is all that God the Father is and all that God the Son is, but he lives in you. So when you think about God, you don't think of him as up there, although he is up there, wherever up there is. He is also in here, in this room this morning, I guess, speaking to you, encouraging you, challenging you maybe, but he's also in here. And some people have tremendous difficulty trying to understand how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit actually comes to live in here. I talk to people, and it's always a joy to share with them. And recently, a lady, she said to me, she said, I can't feel him. And anyway, we've had some conversations, and really, she's so full up with everything else, she's got no room for him. And it's the great work of God, isn't it, to unravel us. If you're as complicated and as difficult as me, it might take a little time. But in the end, God does unravel us, and he works it out for us, and we can come into something. I want to encourage you this morning, as we look at some of the aspects of this, that you say, I receive you, or I receive it. Could be healing, could be forgiveness, could be cleansing. It's a little word, isn't it? Well, three words. I receive you. And also, another interesting realization is that this book that we have, which covers obviously many thousands of years, begins off in the book of Genesis, where you know Paul was quoting just now. And one of the great interesting facts, we came here via Bognor, not this morning, by the way. But we had a day out, and it was Francis' birthday, and she's getting on a bit now, as you know. And we decided we'd have a day, and we went to Petworth House. Anybody been to Petworth House? And if you like art, it's packed full of art. Apparently this guy back in the 1600s got this house given to him. I mean, it is a house as well, isn't it? And 18,000 a year, which in late 1600s, I guess, was probably about 18 million. Oh, about 80 million today, in today's money. Not a bad gift, but anyway, he became quite a sort of man who wanted to support people, and he supported artists, and they came to his house, and anything he painted, he bought from them, and it's packed for this. But one of the things that he also did is statues, and you know there's a big statue in the main hall which he built specially for it, of St. Michael slaying the devil. And it's all made out of one lump of granite, and he's there with this thing. He's under his feet. And of course that's what the Bible tells us, doesn't it? But that's not my subject this morning. I was only scratching my head. I'm all right. Promise. So, where was I? We're in the New Testament. And here's a realization that Holy Spirit in the New Testament covers a period of 35 years, that's all. It's not a long time, is it? Many of us have lived more than 35 years. Perhaps you're one of those younger ones among us. And in that 35 years, God has packed in all the truth that you and I need to live our Christian lives. So I hope you read it. And there's one book in that New Testament canon of Scripture that is the only book that explains the Holy Spirit's ministry to the church. You know what that book is? It's the book of Corinthians. And it's amazing. I think it's amazing that the people of Corinth had a difficulty with the Holy Spirit and how it works out. So they wrote to this great man called Paul the Apostle, and they asked him some questions. And if you read through this book, which I enjoy doing, you will discover it. They came short in no gift. But they'd lost their way as regards the ministry of the Holy Spirit and its application to you and me for today, there today. In the book of Ephesians, we read these words, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The gift of the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus Christ living in you and me. I receive you, Lord. He said to the disciples, "I'm going away, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you. So you just wait." And you know they waited 10 days. Seems a long time to wait sometimes when you're waiting for something. But they waited with absolute anticipation that what they had been promised would come. Some of us in the room don't like going shopping. We don't. I don't know if you like shopping. But we love Amazon or eBay. So if I want something, first thing I do is get onto Amazon. And it's quite a simple process. You just look at it, press a button, and you press another button and you've bought it. Yeah? And then you wait for it to come. And then it comes. And you're excited when it comes, aren't you? Especially if you've got the wrong thing. Because sometimes you look at the picture and it's, you know, I bought a bath mat and I thought it was a bath mat. But when I got it, it was about that size. It was no good at all. It was only suitable for 1 foot. But God said, I will send the Holy Spirit. Have you received him? He's living in your heart. But if you're not sure, don't worry. Don't panic. Don't fall apart. Because when God promises, it's going to come. And I want you to be encouraged this morning. It's the gift of God, and it's free to everyone in this room this morning. You haven't got to buy it. You haven't got to use PayPal. You just simply got to say, I receive you, Lord. That's all you've got to do. He says, it's not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's in Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. In 2 Timothy, he says this, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you see, we are called to be workmen. Let's make this more culturally acceptable. Work people. Right? We're workers. So if we're workers, in our title slide, do I put that on and you put that on and then I... Right. My subject this morning is the tools of the workman. And we're going to look at them in a minute, in 2 Corinthians. Now, Corinthians says this in chapter 2, verse 9 to 16, that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. So, of course, you realise that when you talk maybe to your neighbours or to your people that you work with, and they talk about the spiritual things, you haven't got a clue what you're talking about. Because God has revealed it to you. You know because you know. And you're here in this meeting this morning because God loves you and he lives in you. But you have to come to a realization of the fullness of that. And to do that, you have the spiritual gifts. You see, as I say, if we hadn't got the book of Corinthians, we wouldn't really know all about it, would we? Now, let me tell you a story. I don't know if you're anybody good at DIY here. Yeah, you're good at DIY. Well, our next slide. Oh, it's me, isn't it now? Yeah, right. Okay. Look at that. It's the toolbox. Now, you may recognise that toolbox if you're a DIY person. It's a plumber's toolbox. And I thought it was an interesting picture because it has 9 tools. Now, you know, of course, there's many more than 9 tools in a plumber's toolbox. And the reason I pointed out is because one day I was coming in from just shopping, I suppose we'd been out, and I opened the front door and I could hear this amazing rush of water. It was tremendous. I didn't know what it was or where it was coming from, but I soon found it. I opened my downstairs cloakroom and a pipe one of these flexible pipes out the back of the wall was just pouring. It was hitting the ceiling. And it hadn't been long because it hadn't flooded out into the hall or anything like that. So obviously it was very good. I found it. And of course I had to fix it. So I rushed into my workshop. I got out a hammer and that was no good. I couldn't hit it with a hammer. That didn't work any good. So having switched it off, and I had to fix it, and I needed the tools to do the job. And I believe that, if you want to know what these tools are, there they are. Right, good. And I won't go back to that one. I'll go back to our toolbox. So God has given to us the tools to do the job. Are you workmen for God? It's amazing, isn't it, that when we look at our Bibles, we realise, of course, that these tools that God has given to us are absolutely vital to live the Christian life. If we turn into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he starts off this chapter with this very interesting statement, now concerning spiritual... 1 Corinthians, thank you. Did I say 2? Yeah. Oh, well, I'm running ahead of myself. Now, the word gifts is not there in the original. We put it there, and I say we, I mean scholars of Greek and Hebrew, to help us understand what he's talking about. But unfortunately, he's diverted us to think about God gives a gift to you and me. So you might say, well, I haven't got the gift of the word of knowledge or the gift of the word of wisdom or the gift. God, and you might say, like many say, well, I haven't got the gift of tongues. But God doesn't give gifts, he gives the ministry of the Spirit to every one of us. Every one of us in this room is gifted by God through his Spirit to live his Christian life and to be a blessing to everybody they meet. Whoever they are, there is a gift in the toolbox to do the job. Leonard Ravenhill, and I mentioned this last time I was here, he said that you can compare it to the dove. Because you know when Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, it says a dove descended upon him. And of course the dove features a little bit in the scriptures. You find it was the dove in the ark and etc. But apparently the dove, and there he is, the dove, right, has two wings with 9 feathers on each wing and 5 feathers pointing towards his head. Leonard Ravenhill and others have said, this is another man who put this together, says that each Christian has 2 wings, has 9 gifts of the Spirit on one wing and 9 fruits of the Spirit on the other wing, and the 5 feathers on the back represent the apostle, prophet, pastors, evangelists and teachers. Just an interesting comment, but there we are. But I'm going to look firstly at the word of wisdom. But let me read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts. Now, what else would we say instead of gifts? We would say ministries. Or we might say, I think if you read, Mr. North is very good. He wrote a book. If you're ever interested, you can find it online now. And find everything online, can't you? called Spiritual Gifts. And He talked about it as spirituality. Are you spiritual? You're spiritual if you move in the things of the Spirit, according to him. Or spiritual people, or spiritually gifted ones. These are all kind of understandings. And of course, only 9 examples, but of course there are many others. In Romans, you can read them, in the end of 1 Corinthians 12, and in the book of Ephesians. So you could put together in your spiritual toolbox something like 25 gifts. You can go into, you have a gift of hospitality. We shall enjoy the gift of hospitality when we stand round the kitchen hatch and drink our tea and eat our biscuits. And I'm convinced that we need to operate in these gifts. He says this in verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works, listen, all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Right? All, that means you and me. And I guarantee this week you will come into contact with somebody or something or an issue in your life where you will need God to minister to you. I receive it. Sometimes it may be just a word of wisdom for a situation, maybe a word of knowledge. Right. He says this, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but the one and the same Spirit works in all these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I receive it, Lord. One occasion, I was invited, I think I made the invitation for myself, to go to Africa with said gentleman who I got to know in the early 70s, and he was flying to Nigeria and I wanted to go with him. And I said to him, I'd love to come. He said, that's fine. You come. I said, I'll just check with the Lord. I'll pray about it. It's always good to pray about things, isn't it? Anyway, I met him about 3 months later, and he said, well, are you coming, Terry? And I said, well, I'm still praying about it. Anyway, he said, and he just prayed for me. You know, people used to do those sort of things. Said, I pray, ask, you know, Lord, just give Terry a word. I suppose he wanted to know whether I was going or whether I wasn't. So I went back to the table, and it was one of these gatherings of men, as it was in those days. We were meeting, and I sat round the coffee table, and a man just leaned across the table, and he said, I've got a word for you, Terry. He said, you're to go east. That was his word, you're to go east. Right? Nigeria was just about east of England, I suppose. I went back and I said, God's spoken to me. I'm coming. I went back home, I think it was 2 days, and £500 dropped through my letterbox. I received it. I receive you, Lord. The word of wisdom. You know, it seems to me that it's come at the top of a list of 9 gifts. Why there were 9, I don't know. There's more than 9, as we've said. But these 9 seem to be broken into 3 sections. You've got word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. They're things that we, if I can put it like this, that we seem to just come to our minds, if you like, to share with somebody who needs questions answered. And then there's these 3, faith, gifts of healings, and miracles. And I guess they seem to be the most challenging of those 3. And probably need a little bit of time to talk about those 3 separately. And then there's prophecy, speaking in other languages and the interpretation of other languages or tongues. And I guess you're in a camp maybe, I don't know where you, I don't know whether these things are for today. Well, we did look at that last time. And for my conclusion is that everything that God put in the Bible, I don't think we've stopped being workmen. I don't think the Holy Spirit stopped working and wants to work in people's lives. So the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Now, I have some good friends, as you know. Most of them are dead. But they wrote some wonderful stories about their own personal experience. When Solomon became king of Israel, God said to him, "Ask anything and I will give it to you." I wonder what you'd ask for. Ask anything. And God was pleased with his answer because he asked for an understanding heart. He asked for wisdom. I think he lost it in his life before he got to the end of it because he didn't follow everything that God wanted him to do, and he just got wrapped up in all the things that he shouldn't have done. And the sad thing about this man was he had such a tremendous beginning, but he says in the end of his life, "But Solomon loved many women, and they drew his heart away from the Lord." But one day, as he received this gift from God, 2 ladies came to sort out a problem with him. They had apparently been sleeping in the same bed. They had 2 babies, and one of them, lady, had overlaid the other baby, wasn't her baby, and it had died. And the other lady said, "No, that's my baby." And she said, "No, it's my baby. No, it's my baby." Anyway, they took it to Solomon, and Solomon said, "Give me a sword." Right? "Give me a sword." That solved the problem. And I think, you know, when you think of the word of wisdom, how important it is for us to know what to say. Sometimes we just don't know what to say. Jesus was often challenged on things. You know, Peter, he was quite a bold man. They asked him a question and he says, "Does your master pay taxes?" "Oh, of course he does, Peter." Challenged him on it, didn't he? But he said, "Well, so we don't offend them, go to the sea, just over there, put your rod in, take out a fish, and the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and there'll be enough money in there to pay you and me." But you see, we only need to speak the word of wisdom. Smith Wigglesworth, who you know is a real fan of mine, was always talking to people. He had a wonderful ministry. He was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. And he often talked to people with marriage problems. This is one of his stories. Apparently a young man who once loved the Lord and married a fine young woman, but after a time the young man backslid. His marriage deteriorated to the extent that he left his wife and moved back with his mother. The situation was difficult for the mother and greatly distressing her. Wigglesworth said to the lady, "Give me your handkerchief." Now you know, if you read Acts 19, that it says that Paul did special miracles by using cloths from his body. So I guess he took out his handkerchief or asked her for a handkerchief, and he said, prayed for it, and he said, put this under his pillow. So when she got home, her son was out, she put it under his pillow. When her son returned, it was late, she was in bed, and anyway, after a while he'd had his cocoa and he went to bed, he put his head on the pillow, and he came under terrible conviction, instantly. Hastily, he got out of bed, fell on his knees, got right with God, dressed, called his mother. "Although it was midnight, don't worry, Mum, I'm going back home. I'll see you tomorrow." And away he went. When he got home, he and his wife had a glorious reconciliation. Numerous marriages were saved through Wigglesworth ministry, but always through miraculous means, because his approach was never tactful. Have you ever done that? Just put a handkerchief under his pillow. Practiced and proven. We had a lady in our meeting, and she came to our house group. She said, "Oh, I was really challenged yesterday." It was Monday we had our meeting, because she had been concerned about a friend of hers who had serious cancer in Birmingham. And in the evening meeting — I wasn't at the evening meeting, but it was mentioned, this particular passage in Acts 19. She said, "I should have gone forward," i.e. she should have received the ministry and done what the preacher had said, but she was nervous about it. I guess many of us might be nervous. So she said, "So I really feel we ought to do it at our house group meeting." And she, because I was leading the meeting, she said, "I think Terry ought to do the praying." And of course my response was, "If it's in the Bible, I can do it. If it's not in the Bible, I'm not so keen." So we just got her handkerchief and we prayed that the Lord would heal her friend in Birmingham. It's what she asked for. So she thanked us and off she went. We live at St. Leonard's-on-Sea, which is a little way from Birmingham. Anyway, she went by train, I expect, and she got to see the person in the house, and she said, I've come to pray with you. Laid a handkerchief on the woman. Guess what happened? What do you think happened? The Lord healed her. It started with wisdom. You know, there are so many issues in our lives. How many issues have we got that we just need God to tell us what to do? Now, I don't think that there's one person in this room doesn't need to know God's wisdom in their lives. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all man liberally and upbraids not. I receive it. I receive it. I suppose you've heard of Jim Simbala. He started a church called the Brooklyn Tabernacle. There's tens of thousands of people meet. They've got this massive choir. But you know, he started off like you and me, little group, 30 people meeting together, decided that they would pray together, and God began to work. They went from 30 to 300 to 3,000. Mind you, they had to change where they were meeting and get a bigger building and so on, and it went on. And his secret, and if you, he wrote a couple of books, Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire, Fresh Power. Good books to read if you want to know more about the things of the Spirit. And God bless him, except the devil got hold of his daughter Chrissy. And she began to be wayward. 16-year-old, she decided, did she want the ways of the Lord, went and lived with her boyfriend. Broke his heart, him and his wife, Carol. Carol got sick. And they, it says they went through the darkest 2.5-year tunnel that we could imagine, he writes in his book. He pleaded with God, he begged God, he talked to Chrissy, he says he did lots of things. And Carol's response was to his wife was, well, we've got to pack it up, we've got to leave, we've got to go somewhere else. Let's leave New York. We can't bring up our children in this atmosphere. He got counsel from another minister, and the minister said, well, I'm sorry, Jim, you'll just have to let her do what she wants to do. He wouldn't receive it. He determined not to. Anyway, he was in a meeting one night, it was a prayer meeting, and a lady came up to him and said, God's given me a word that we should pray for Chrissy tonight. Oh God, give us people like that, that God gives words to. That we can be the catalyst for someone's life to be transformed. Only a word of wisdom. I think we ought to pray for Chrissy tonight. Anyway, they prayed in that meeting. Guess what happened? 32 hours later, on Thursday morning, Chrissy came home, and Carol, Jim was shaving, I think, at the time, says, Chrissy's here, Chrissy's here. She was sobbing on the kitchen floor, hands and knees. She was on her hands and knees. She began to pour out her anguish. Daddy, I've sinned against God. I've sinned against you and Mummy. Please forgive me. I pulled her up from the floor and held her close as we prayed together. Suddenly she drew back. Daddy, who was praying for me? In the middle of the night, God woke me and showed me I was heading towards the abyss. There was no bottom to it. It scared me to death. I was so frightened. I realized how hard I'd been, how wrong, how rebellious. But at that same time, it was like God wrapped me in his arms around me and held me tight. He kept me from sliding any further. As he said, I still love you. Daddy, tell me the truth. Who was praying for me Tuesday night? Want to see God do a miracle for somebody? The Holy Spirit's given you his gift. And one of those spiritual ministries is the word of wisdom. I'm going to stop there. The word of wisdom. I want us to pray. I want us just to think about someone we need to talk to. He may not want us to talk to him or her, but it's someone who we want to know God in their lives. And we need that word from God And we have received the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's one of his tools. We won't nag him to death or her. Nothing will happen if we just speak, cajole. Never worked for Chrissy. But one day, the word of God came and her life was transformed. Father, we do want to be effective for you in our lives. First of all, Lord, I'd just like to pray for us, because I know that there's some of us who just need to receive from you this morning. And in that song that we used to, well, I don't think we sing it now, but we used to, I receive your love. I receive your love. I thank you, Lord, that whatever the difficulty is, you still love us and care for us. But Lord, some of these issues are impossible without your intervention. And so we pray, Lord, that you will minister through your gift to us. Do it now, Lord, we pray. If it's a healing touch, minister it to us, Lord. We can order the product. We can pay the money. And we can wait for it to arrive. Lord, how simple is that? We know, Lord, that you have made everything available to us in your will and purpose. We do set our hearts on it and pray, Lord, that you'll do what you promised to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.